Now, I just come back from up north, to Harkins' place. You know that land we all bought into? Well, it's not there.
What's going on out here?
It's gone.
What's gone?
Our land's gone, and our money's gone with it.
What? Dr. Oh, Baker, will you stop raving like a maniac and make some sense?
My name is still Mark, and I'm on today discussing an episode that I was just saying, a lot of people don't like this episode. I like this episode. I have Tracy on. How are you doing, Tracy?
I'm doing well, Mark.
Thanks so much for taking the time today. I sometimes get into chats with people before the show, and I'm like, oh, I just, you know, get to know people so well, and I was so, like, jazz to learn that you guys are kind of a scouting family like we are.
Yes, we are a scouting family for sure.
And we both have life scouts. Woo! That's crazy. Woo-hoo. What a crazy small world. And another small world is the world of Little House on the Prairie, where we get a lot of characters in this particular episode. Do you want to talk about what episode we are talking about today, Tracy?
We are reviewing the episode Blind Justice, which, you know, also kind of sounds like a Chuck Norris film when you think about it.
Blind Justice. Yeah, it does. Like, you know, they'll have the spinning, like, revolver. Like,
oh, yes. And smoke coming out at the end. But it is season 7, episode 19,
mm-hmm.
written by Carol and Michael Rochella. I don't know if that's how you pronounce their last name. Directed by Mari Dexter, who directed 21 Little House episodes and produced 73 episodes of Little House, and is kind of in
get a hobby. I'm just kidding.
What?
It's like, get a hobby.
No, he did Highway to Heaven, yeah. Other things like that. The Rochellas, on the other hand, also wrote Blind Journey when Adam and Mary and the blind kids are they going from Winoka to
Wanacrow?
Yeah. And also did I'll Be Waving As You Drive Away parts 1 and 2. So they had written some about Mary and Adam's past already. So they're kind of in the Mary Adam vibe.
I like the Mary and Adam vibe in this particular episode.
Yeah.
Tragedy has really struck them, the Kendalls, at this point, right? I mean, they've lost the baby.
Right.
They've regained Adam's sight. He went to law school. Mary bullied them into letting him take the test.
Yes. One thing I did look up is that I was curious to know what law school he might have gone to.
Mm-hmm.
The University of Minnesota Law School was established in 1888. And I think that's a little ahead of when this is. So, but you know, my husband is an attorney, and I asked him about this, and he said that, you know, at this time there were not a lot of law schools in the U.S., and a lot of times you had to apprentice with an attorney. And actually, in a few states, you can still do this. And I think Virginia is one of them. It's very rare that it's done anymore, but. You could do that, but he is a freshly minted lawyer out of whatever law school he went to. I guess he just left Mary in Houston and the kids.
I thought you were just talking about your husband. I'm like, wait, what? Mary?
My husband name's Tracy. Went to Vanderbilt Law School. Ah. He did the traditional route. He worked in a firm for 9 years and got burned out, and now he does in-house counsel for a large insurance company in Chicago.
That's kind of the great thing about being an attorney is there are different avenues, there are different things you could do. at different points of your career.
Yes. And I was talking to him about this, and he said that actually when this, you know, in back in Walnut Grove era, you know, there were no like patent law attorneys. There were not, you know, specialties. There was a lot of, you know, there were people who taught law, and there mm-hmm. were people who, you know, were defense attorneys, and there were people who worked, you know, for, you know, the prosecutor's office and, you know, did law in the courtroom. And that was it.
I guess
that
it was like a teacher's type of thing back then, where you would learn from a teacher and then you take an exam like a bar.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And he would have taken the Minnesota bar. And so he would be licensed to practice in the state of Minnesota. So when he came back to, you know, Sleepy Eye, he, you know, I asked my husband, I said, could he just, you know, bounce into, you know, a courtroom and start practicing? He said, yes, once you are a fully licensed, you know, in your state and you've passed the bar, you can go, you know, do what he did in this episode, which is, you know, take on a client and do his thing.
It's like Better Call Saul, but with Adam.
Right. Yeah. but Adam has much better hair.
I would say that Adam, which is on Linwood Boomer, one of the weirdest names to ever come out of Hollywood. Indeed. Linwood Boomer. He has a great head of hair. I think that one of the prerequisites to be on Little House on the Prairie is you have to have a pretty decent head of hair. I mean, look at Doc Baker. I mean, a lot of people don't like his hair. I like his hair. It's crazy.
But Michael Landon's hair deserves a credit by itself.
When I was little, I used to play with these little toys. I think they were just called Little People.
The Fisher Price.
And that's kind of like what his hair is, like a little hair helmet thing. Like, boop.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crowning glory.
I'm going to play a little bit of the music. It's a little bit light-spirited. We don't know what to expect, except that we are, we're in Sleepy Eye, right? I kind of lose track of where, what towns these things are supposed to be in.
Yes, this is definitely Sleepy Eye, and we get an opening shot with the blind school in the back. Used to be a bank, apparently.
Hmm. Want to see the vault? Buzzy's Saloon. I never noticed that. That's the name of the saloon right there. Boozy's.
That's a great name.
Yeah, Boozy's. William to Boozy's. It's like Cheers. We are welcomed by Houston, who he's a weird character. He warmed up to me when he was kind of hiding the orphans and everything, but there's something about him. I have a hard time understanding what he says half the time. I know it's intentional.
It's kind of that old Western dialect that, you know, guys that look like him speak, where it's a lot of,
it's like
they have to throw in the occasional, you know, I don't know what it is. It's almost like a cat hacking up a fur ball.
And then they just laugh at the end.
Right. Because everything's funny. And someone eventually gets their back slapped. So there you go.
There you go. Adam gets off the stage and he looks around, and I think he has the look on his face of what a dump.
Well, after he's been in Minneapolis, I would think I think Sleepy Eye does kind of look like a dump.
Yeah, look at his expression.
Hey, Adam!
Even him, he's like, oh, you got uglier.
Oh, boy. Welcome home, Adam. Welcome home. I'll take that.
Hi, Houston. Why isn't Mary here?
Well, something come up last minute. She couldn't make it. You know something? Take care of that dadgum school. It's one mess after another. Last night, the plumbing backed up again. You know, I never get caught in that newfangled indoor plumbing anyhow. Well, how does it feel to be a new-fledged log fella anyhow? Everybody's going to be happy to see you. I knew you'd make it down there. I'll be dadgum, boy. I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of things you can take care of around here.
He is a character. I mean, you can't deny he's an interesting character, right?
Well, look, what I find kind of funny is that he's got Adam by the arm almost as if he thinks he's still blind.
Right. You know what? That's a great point. He's just used to it.
He's got his sight back. You don't have to guide him to the school.
And Adam is allowing him to have it. It would be interesting if Adam put his hand around him. I don't know. Interesting. I wonder if that's intentional. I don't know. If anybody's out there and they can do an impersonation of Houston, I would love to hear somebody do like an intro to one of these podcasts, you know, as Houston.
Well, my favorite Houston moment is when he's going, Adamanzi, Adamanzi.
Hey, you do a pretty good impersonation.
Also does a plunk down the stairs.
Yeah. Adamanzi, Adamanzi. I do terrible impersonations. I'm the guy who can't make prank phone calls. It's like, that's you, Mark? It's like, yeah.
We know who you are.
Let's see. It's a surprise. Everybody's like, woohoo, you're home. You're an attorney. We're going to put you right to work because, you know, attorneys make millions of dollars.
Right. That's the assumption in this entire that Adam is going to make them lots and lots of money.
They give him a sign for the business. I think it's a very sweet gesture.
Yes.
As with most things in Little House, though, it's when you go and do something big like that, it never works out so easily.
Right. You know there's going to be a disappointment to come.
Now, in the past, we've heard Adam complain about Mary's cooking. But this time, I think maybe Caroline did the cooking and maybe Hester Sue.
Yes, that's mentioned. Mary does say later that Ma did most of the cooking.
Yeah, so it's weird that in this little thing he's talking about how he can't believe he ate so much.
I can't believe I ate so much.
Ma was pleased. She fixed most of it.
Oh, we could have used her at law school. We used the leftovers to patch the cracks in the plaster.
Plaster. All right, so this is a weird thing. Mary, Mary is not my favorite character sometimes. And right. It has a little bit to do with the fact that they did something to her hair to mess it up and dry it out. And her outfits are always weird. She looks great here.
What happened there was, I think, if I remember correctly, and something I read, was that she got a haircut in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And that they had to, like, stick a fake... you know, fake bun on the back of her head or something like that.
Yeah, but Karen Grassley always had short hair, you know?
Yeah, but I don't know what happened with Mary's hair, but yeah, it definitely looks wonky.
But in this episode, it looks great, I think. And her outfit is nice.
It looks much better than it did when they first started her with the more adult looking hair.
Yeah, I think that as Mary, as an adult, she's never looked better. In this particular thing. Now, granted, she's probably like 17 or 18, and I'm just being a creepy old man, but I'm not saying she looks sexy. I'm saying that she looks great. You know, she looks, but it looks better because, you know, she got the hot oil treatment in the hair, maybe.
The VO5.
Yeah, the VO5. She, you know, she got that makeover, and it's working.
So go to work.
You know, President Arthur was a lawyer. I wonder how I'd do as first lady.
Not so fast. I haven't even had my first case yet.
But the White House is so pretty.
So are you.
Welcome home.
You hear like the faint sound of popcorn in the back. Pop, pop, pop. But I think that they have a pretty good connection, which we don't always see from them. I think that sometimes it really kind of falls flat. I think in this particular episode, Adam and Mary are pretty good together.
I think so too. And I will point out that so Mary drops a little Easter egg for us with the mention of President Arthur.
Mm-hmm. I didn't catch this. I want to hear it. Oop, you still there? I'm sorry.
I'm here. So President Arthur served from September of 1881 to March 1885. And he was not elected. He stepped in because James Garfield was assassinated in 1881. And I don't think Chester Arthur ever thought he'd be president, to be honest with you. And he's not exactly, you know, a rah-rah kind of president. You don't hear him mentioned too much.
Not to get political, but I feel, as a New Yorker, I feel as though our governor is also in this position where she's doesn't make the greatest decisions. And she's... She's only there because our governor stepped down.
I gotcha. Well, we actually visited President Arthur's grave.
Wow.
It was in July. Our family vacation was upstate New York, and we ended in Albany. And we went to, now the name of the cemetery has gone out of my mind, but he is buried there. He died a little over a year after he left office because he was in bad health to begin with. And his wife had actually died right before he stepped in, when he was running for office. But so this kind of puts us in a hole of this episode is in time taking place sometime between 81 and 85. So Grover Cleveland was elected in 1885, and, you know, he was a lot more colorful. He's the only president who ran non-consecutive terms. He had a term in between. And I only know this because that was on my rubber bands when I had braces and they had the president's package.
So this falls into the 100-year rule, kind of, right? I mean, it's somewhat accurate. They're very loose with the 100-year rule. I don't know if the 100-year rule was ever anything that they followed, personally.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes they hit it and sometimes they don't. But sorry for that total, you know, history drop there. But I just thought it was interesting.
No, I love that.
Because you don't get that too often. I don't think I've ever heard a character on any TV show I've ever watched mention Chester Arthur.
Especially as the current president.
Right. And Chester Arthur was an attorney. Mm. And in fact, James Garfield taught at the law school. They did not cross paths at the time, but he was an attorney.
So, I mean, I love the touch of it being at least accurate. Somebody did at least a little bit of research to add to the script.
Right, somebody tried, which is nice.
Yeah. Adam goes in and we meet this guy who basically inspired his entire path to become an attorney in the first place.
Or to revisit.
What's his name again? I'm sorry.
He's Mr. Davis.
Mr. D.
Yeah. Mr. Davis has promised him a job after he passed the bar.
Which, of course, he's thinking, like, this is never going to happen. I promise this to three people a day.
Yeah, but Adam has taken this to heart and thinks, oh, I'm just going to start work tomorrow.
Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Davis.
Good to see you again.
Thank you.
Come on in. Come on in.
Now, we know Mr. Davis is important because he has a fern.
Well, there you
go. Sit down.
Yeah, well, I think you won, right?
There was one.
Was there one in the hall?
Yeah. Well, when you see him walk in, there's one.
Well, Mr. Kendall.
Well, hello, Mr. Davis.
Good to see you again.
Thank you.
Come on in. Come on in.
Take a look to your left.
Yeah, there's that one behind the door.
Exactly. So he's got two ferns.
But I don't see the other fern.
There's one behind the door.
Yeah, there's and then where's the other one?
Behind the chair. See that? And that's the chair that Adam's sitting in, I think. Oh, well. Well, he's got two.
Sit down.
Thank you.
I can't spare you too much time. I have a lunch meeting with a circuit court judge.
Well, this shouldn't take too long.
Well, it certainly is a surprise to see you again.
As you can tell from the amount of books I have, I'm a very important person.
And phone.
Yeah, it's
sitting on the desk.
Super fancy.
A surprise. Didn't you get my letter?
Letter? Oh, yes,
I can't read.
I did. See, that was over a month ago, though, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
a lot of things change in a month. Presidents get assassinated.
You find law school?
Yeah, pretty tough.
Yeah, I thought you would, considering your circumstances.
So this, I thought, was a bit of a dick move right here.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I thought you'd find it pretty difficult. It's like, what?
I thought you'd drop out.
Yeah, it's like, what?
My circumstances?
Well, I mean, all those years of not being able to see.
Well, it must not have hurt me too much. I finished in the top 1% of my class.
Class? Where did that come from?
Little New York slipping in there.
Yeah. Did he grow up in New York?
Well, his father, I think he did, because didn't his father have his firm in New York?
I mean, Linwood Boomer.
Oh, Linwood Boomer, I think, is Canadian, isn't he?
I don't know about that.
You know. Did you? Well, that's very impressive. Congratulations.
Take a lollipop. Here you go, boy. I have to go. I mean, it's essentially, he doesn't even give him a lollipop.
I'm sure you're going to make a big success. Look, I hate to cut this short, but I told you I do have this meeting.
Oh, I don't want to take up any of your time. I just wanted to find out when I should start.
Start?
Yes, with your firm.
That's never, it's never good when there's a sigh, right?
Yeah. When, and one that, that, and that crestfallen look on his face.
Yeah. It's like, oh, this is uncomfortable. Yeah.
You do remember saying that if I passed the bar, there'd be a job waiting for me.
You promised if I grew my hair out. Let me look at me. I'm beautiful. I'd be great for this firm. I don't know why he wouldn't want to at least bring Adam on in an entry level position.
Right, exactly. And it just, it, this just makes him look like a total jerk.
We he basically says no. That's mm-hmm. it. He goes to go to lunch with, I can't tell if this woman is in her 20s or 40s.
She's in that weird no woman's land.
She could be blonde or gray. I just can't tell.
Well, we know, I know that it's, she's not his wife.
No.
Because I looked back to see when they had, you know, they went to the garden party, mm-hmm. and that's definitely not.
Hello, this is Mark, and I just wanted to take a moment to thank the people who make this podcast possible. Because of your support, I am able to produce this podcast, create stickers and trading cards, and all types of other goodies that are mailed out to you. If you would like to support Walnut Grove Cast and get some of these goodies delivered to your mailbox, please visit patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Any support is appreciated. Now back to the show.
To see when they had, you know, they went to the garden party, mm-hmm. and that's definitely not his wife.
Could be a client. Let's give this guy the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
I mean, he does have two of these chains. Does that mean he has two watches?
I don't know. Could be.
Yeah, maybe he keeps one for, you know, West Coast time.
Right.
Let's see. Actually, I guess he would keep New York time. New York is more important at this point. Maybe. Maybe they're equal. Who knows? We get a kind of a visual thing where Adam is like, well, surprised they didn't have like him circling jobs in a classified newspaper thing.
Right.
But he goes to all the law offices. All of a sudden there's law offices everywhere in,
right.
in Sleepy Eye. And
do you notice where he doesn't go though?
Where?
He does not go to like the court. He doesn't go to like the local courthouse to say, you know, hey, Judge so-and-so, can I clerk for you?
Oh, that's interesting.
He went to all the private attorneys. I thought it was interesting that he didn't even bother because I guess he maybe he thinks he's above that. But with that great hair, maybe he just thinks he's too good for that.
You're walking with that hair and that resume. Come on. And he has the story of regaining his eyesight. Come on. Look at those baby blues. Come on. A lot of Jews in the law game. You got Mason, which could be Jewish. We have Weiss. I don't know about Rip. Hartley Rip. Hartley Rip sounds like a shady guy, right? He's the guy who can get you out of some stuff if you need to get out of some stuff.
Right.
Hartley Rip. Definitely. How you doing there? My name is, just call me Hart. He probably has a slogan like, I put the Hart back in law.
Oh, that sounds good.
So I don't know if it sounds good. But yeah, Adam is disenchanted. He's, you know, as anybody would be, right? You're promised this job. And he was, you know, we could fact check that. They did shake on it.
They did.
But if there's one thing, maybe your husband could back this up. A handshake does not equal a legal binding contract. Maybe
well,
it does. Does it?
I did ask him about that.
Oh.
And he did say that. Back in those days, things were a lot more loosey-goosey, and that while, you know, yes, contracts, you know, were definitely important, but the handshake thing was a lot more, you know, common than it is now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I take a handshake pretty seriously.
I still think for Adam to count on that,
yeah. No. I mean, all right, we're a little bit more street smart these days. We need to know that there needs to be a plan B, C, and D, but
right.
Adam, you know, he's just like, I'm guaranteed this job from this guy who told me once, and I wrote a letter to him once.
And yeah. The guy didn't write back.
right. Yeah. But here we are discussing with Marion Houston. Houston's really involved in this entire thing. I guess it's important that he's involved. He's also become very emotionally involved in the blind school and all of this. And those crickets they brought from Walnut Grove.
So who says you got to have a partner to get started in business?
Houston, I went to every law office in town today, and not many of them look prosperous.
What's this prosperous you're talking about? Using big words now.
Man.
Waiting for that. He doesn't know what prosperous means. I mean, he's a simple guy.
I just don't think I'd do well on my own.
Do
but
good.
You have to practice law.
Well, that's right.
I'd love it if he would correct people's proper pronunciation of things. I don't think I would do well. It's do good.
But not here.
What?
I think I should go where I'm needed.
Adam, what are you saying?
Sounds like he's leaving Sleepy Eye. That's what it sounds like.
It came to me all of a sudden on the way home tonight.
What did?
Walnut Grove doesn't have a lawyer.
All right.
For good reason.
Let's think about this just for a second.
For many seconds here.
Why would Walnut Grove need a lawyer outside of this episode?
Nothing. Nothing.
Wait. All right, we have the trial of Sylvia, right?
That's true, yes.
Which happened just before this episode.
Mm-hmm.
There's that, you know, RIP Sylvia. What else? We have the barn burner.
Yes, barn burner. And we will see somebody from barn burner very soon.
Yeah, that's right. But what else? What else? There was the MLM like pyramid scheme that Pa was doing in season one with the corn.
Oh, yeah. And then when the circus guy.
Oh, that's right.
The Billy Barty plays the circus guy and he gets
he gets busted.
He got busted and he was put in the Walnut Grove jail, a.k.a. the ice house.
Just snacking on ice cream.
Yeah.
What kind of, it's nice and cool in here. It's quiet.
Yes.
It's ice cream. It's very nice. It's very nice.
Walnut
but
Grove?
There's just not a lot of call for legal action
now,
in Walnut.
We could also have, there was a almost divorce, right? The Garveys.
Yes, that's right. The Olsons almost
divorced. And the
divorced.
Olsons. I mean, he could be the guy who could have been responsible for doing like speedy divorces.
Yeah. Walnut Grove could have become the Reno.
Adam.
Minnesota.
Yeah, the Reno of the Midwest.
Right, exactly.
That's so funny.
Adam, are you really serious about leaving the school?
Yes.
You're dead to me. Basically, that's what he's very upset.
Yeah, he's not happy.
But they decide to leave, which I can't say. I just don't know why you would decide to go to Walnut Grove. Go to New York, right? That's where his family is from.
Right, exactly. And it's just, why would you go to this tiny town where the only people with any money are the Olsons, and they pretty much keep their nose legally.
Yeah.
And what I do find, one thing I'm going to mention is that she talks about, Hester Sue mentions the fact that Mary is going to be Adam's secretary when they move to Walnut Grove.
Right. And she makes that comment. Should I play that? Because it's
starving. I think I'll have a piece of that pie.
Oh, wait, here we are.
It's all so sudden.
Your family will be real happy.
We love Hester Sue, right? I mean, I just love her when she's on the screen. She does add a lot to the scenes.
Well.
All right.
I do miss Bandit.
We'll go.
Great. You know, all of a sudden I'm starving. I think I'll have a piece of that pie after all, Hester Sue.
I would be like, help yourself. It's already put away, buddy.
Well, Hester Sue mentions the fact that, Adam says Mary can be a secretary.
Yeah, I think that's coming. Wait, did he say that already, or?
He said that already.
All right, let me go back. I'm sorry. Because she makes that one comment about the brow.
What's private?
Here we go.
Yourself, I'm going to need a secretary. And you type well and take good notes. Yeah.
Mary's makeup is really, really 1981. I mean, it's good. It's not like it's too much. But she has, like, rouge on.
She's got the gray shadow.
Yeah, and mascara.
Yep.
which, you know, but she looks good. It's just not exactly accurate for 1881.
Yes, and with all those dots, no one will ever know what's private.
I don't get it. Like,
and see, what's interesting, I did look it up. The first Braille, like, typewriter was not invented until 1892. And it was designed by a man called Frank Hall, who was the superintendent of the Illinois School for the Blind.
Oh,
and it had a typewriter-style keyboard and moving carriage. And however, like most Braille writers of the time, it says they were noisy and reduced and required frequent repair. So that's, you know, so that's a little bit beyond our 1881 to 85 window. But they did have them, and she could have used them. But if she used that, who's going to decipher that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless it's another blind person, you know, that just, I don't know.
It doesn't make sense, yeah. I mean, maybe he's just trying to sweeten the pot where it's like, we're really going to hire, you know, someone
right,
else.
We're going to have so much money, we can just, you know, throw it out the window.
Yeah, so you act like that in a little bit. Houston talks about the memories, about how Laura first came up. It's a really long, it's like 3.5 minutes long of him just sitting in a chair.
Right.
So I'm going to fast forward that a little bit. There's another 1890s reference, believe it or not, that I'll point out.
Oh, please do. Yeah.
It's a little bit later, but let's see. We make our way to Walnut Grove. I do want to just point this out. If you're watching the screen, if you're watching at exactly, I think it's 1354, might be different on your thing, but it's when the stagecoach is coming up. If you look right to the right, I might have to play this more than once, you'll see a flash bulb, almost like they're doing like photos from the set. You'll see it just flash any second now. Saw that?
I just saw it. Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing. I'm sure there was just like photographers on the set taking promo shots of the stage coming in. So I'm going to try to track down that photo.
Interesting.
I've never seen it before. I've never seen a flash in
that's
Little
weird.
House. So yeah, they come and they're like, "Hey, welcome!" And we have the entire crew here. We have Carrie, Albert, Almanza, Laura.
And Carrie can speak in complete sentences now.
Yeah, she's... I see, I'm on the side of Carrie. I like Carrie. So...
Hungry.
Well, I'm not tired, but the hungry part is true.
Everything's ready. Come on inside.
What is this? Overland stage something.
I'll get you back. Let me give you a hand.
Fine.
What's going on over there?
So there's a whole congregation of people at basically the equivalent of a lemonade stand.
Well, it's Edgar Mills, corner of the market on a big stretch of land up north. He and Mrs. Olson set up a company selling shares.
You bought any?
I got plumbing to fix. A new discount to buy. Besides, looks like she's got plenty of takers.
What kind of plumbing does Charles even have? I mean, he's the pump.
Because they still have the outhouse. Yeah. The only plumbing they would have would be the pump. In the kitchen.
And it's like, that's just a pipe connected to the well, right? I'm imagining.
I mean, that's what I thought. So unless he's, you know, they've gone uptown down at the little house. I don't know about any plumbing, but.
Unless he's talking about his own personal plumbing.
Yeah, right.
I got to buy Mucinex. Not Mucinex. What is that called? I forget what it's called. It's like a fiber pill.
Right.
Oh, Mucinex. Gosh. Mucinex is the thing you take if you're like all phlegmy.
Yes. Oh,
this episode's brought to you by Mucinex and fiber pills.
Right. Fiberol.
Fiberol, exactly.
Adam.
Reverend Alden.
Home at last. It's good to see you.
It's good to be back. You planning on buying a Mrs. Olson's land deal, Reverend?
Oh, indeed I am. I think it's a good investment for the church.
No!
Maybe I better get over there before he sells out.
No!
So yeah, you point out that... Does Reverend Alden have the right to invest money on behalf of the congregation?
No.
At least
I don't
think
he does. I don't think he does.
What if he were, maybe he's investing his own money for the church and he's any of the proceeds will go to the church?
That's totally different. What he does with his personal funds is, you know, his right, but if he's taking money from the offering plate
And
investing it in the church.
I'm black 13.
Ooh, not good.
No,
and we don't know what religion the Reverend Alden is, I don't think. My guess is that he was probably Methodist because they did have traveling Methodist pastors that did the circuit. But they would not, I really don't think they would have the wherewithal to be allowed to invest money that was given in the offering plate into land speculation.
Yeah. No, it's weird because we have on Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, I don't know if you watch that show, there's an episode where the reverend takes a loan out against the church because he owns the physical church, which is weird.
That's very weird.
Now, we know that Reverend Alden does not own the church. Right. I don't think anyone owns the church. I think the community owns the church the same way that maybe the community owns like a city hall or something like that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm just not really sure. I think it was just kind of a blip in season 7 as the entire show starts getting weird. Yeah,
right.
Sure, get Reverend Alden in there.
It is nice to see him though, because, you know, but still to be buying land shares with church money, I just kind of winced when I.
Yeah, it kind of doesn't sit well with us, but you know what? You got to make money. You got to spend money to make money.
That's what they say.
I think that's in the Bible, right?
I've never seen this town get so fired up.
Something about the smell of easy money. It does get folks excited.
You know all about that, wouldn't you, Charles? C-O-R-N. But he's been guilty of this. You know, he's also the cash on the barrel kind of guy, but he's throwing around his money in this episode as well. Because you'll hear one little comment I'll play. Let's see. I think it's in this next scene. We're in the little house. Where else would you want to eat dinner? I mean, come on.
Yeah. It's a big group around that table.
Yeah.
It's a perfect location. It's right above the post office.
There's even a desk that somebody left.
Somebody. I wonder who that somebody could be.
Rainy Now's house.
Your pa and I were talking about the old Caldwell place.
Yeah, it's been sitting idle since they moved back east.
And it's right near us.
Now, when I heard Laura speak, I'm like, wait, how old is Laura in this? Because Melissa Gilbert's voice doesn't change right away. I don't think it's until next season that it kind of comes down a pitch.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Well, it'll be a while before we can think about getting into a house.
Well, if it'd help, I could co-sign a loan for you at the bank.
What?
Yeah, that made me pause also.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Co-sign a loan at the bank?
This is a guy who buys snow globes for his blind daughter. Like, he doesn't know what to do with whatever money is saved.
No, he stinks with money.
I would have loved if Caroline dropped the plate when he said that.
Yes. Come on,
Claw. Are you okay, Caroline? I'm fine.
There goes all my egg money.
Right. There goes my 2-cent egg money.
That's kind, sir, but no, I want to see what kind of a living I'm going to make first.
And then cut to Caroline. It's like, whew.
We'll be fine at the hotel. And we won't have to worry about missing a client as long as we're living in the office.
It almost sounds like he's kind of rubbing it in that he's going to take that offer. We'll be fine in the hotel.
Well, what I don't understand, though, is he says we'll be fine in the hotel, but isn't the office over the post office in another building?
Yes.
And then when you see them setting up the office, there's a bed in the office. So I got kind of confused about that one. But anyway, it's Walnut Grove and they can do what they want.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. We're in town. Let's see. This is the big pitch. Like, this is like the big, like, you got to get in it right now.
Well, I don't know. There won't be many more shares left to sell.
Dr. Baker, you're passing up a chance of a lifetime.
Which is just so funny. Now, Doc Baker is another person who I'm not really sure money-wise where he sits because he gambles money without really thinking about it. Remember with Percy Day? Is it Percy Day?
Yeah. Yes, in the carriage race.
I think he bet like $5. And
yeah. What?
He's just, you know, constantly, I mean, he lives in a room. right?
Basically, yes.
He bought a farm.
The examining table.
He's like, yeah, I'll take that farm. He's got money. I don't think he's just getting paid in chickens.
No, I think he's got to have some funds to be able to exist.
I think that it's possible that Doc Baker has the most liquid money in town. Although we did see that Harriet does keep quite a lot of cash in her dresser drawer.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. I have to think it over.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, what's there to think over?
Miss Olson, when you came into my office with a...
Wait, so she's about to call him something. Wait, where is it? I made a note here. A stubborn something. I couldn't understand what it was, but maybe my ears are fresher today. So you tell me what you think she's going to say once this little conversation is over. She goes, you stubborn something.
With a pain in your middle, I didn't cut you right open. I thought it over. And when I had, I prescribed.
It isn't necessary to discuss my medical history, for heaven's sakes.
I'm sorry.
I do agree with her on that, by the way.
HIPAA laws.
Yeah, well, this is where the HIPAA laws were first created.
HIPAA laws of the Old West.
HIPAA laws of the Old West. Sounds like a weird book, right?
It does.
I'll think it over. Suit yourself.
Stubborn.
Who's next, please? Thank you, young.
Did you hear that?
I couldn't quite make out what she said. Like,
I know
some
screen share just stopped.
Bore.
I have to say, it sounded like something like stubborn whore. Wait, hold on. Let's. My screen share stopped for some reason. There you go. I'm gonna play it back one more time. Maybe we can.
Medical history, for heaven's sakes.
I'm sorry. I'll think it over. Suit yourself.
Stubborn.
Who's next, please? Thank you, young.
I don't know what she's saying.
It could have been what you said.
Stubborn whore? You stubborn whore, Doc.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, honestly, maybe Harriet needs to hire an attorney for those HIPAA laws. It's a violation right in front of all these people, you know?
I mean, sharing her private medical information?
Yeah, basically, you know what? It might not be a law today, but it's going to be a law someday.
That's right.
Mary brings a plant to liven up the area.
Not a fern.
Not a fern. Not a fern.
The shingle is up. The diploma's on the wall. I guess we're all set.
Not quite. No office is finished without a plant to brighten it up. Now we're all set.
Weird they have a bed in your office, but you know, hey.
Like, okay, we have a desk, we have a potbelly stove, and we have a bed in the office?
Yeah, I mean, is Adam doing like an OnlyFans or something? I'm not really sure what's going on in this room, but they have a lot of wood. I would think that the building, but they have a potbelly, not a potbelly stove, but they have, what is this?
That's got to be a wood. It must be a wood burning stove instead of a coal if they've got that much wood stacked next to it.
I've never seen a heater in any of these rooms, or at least I've never noticed.
Yeah, this is odd.
Yeah.
Right on time. Your first client.
Yeah, it's more likely someone complaining about the noise. Nels, come on in.
My first complaint.
Woo-hoo. Morning.
Good morning.
Well, looks like you're all set for business.
Yeah, all we need now is a client.
Well, this is not entirely a social call.
See, Adam, what did I tell you?
Have a seat.
No, I don't have to sit.
Let me pull up a box.
Yes, sit on my crate, please.
Don't squish around on this. You got a splinter. You think Charles could have made a couple of nice chairs for the office?
You would think.
This is about this land development scheme that...
So I do want to point out Mary's drab, disgusting dress that she's wearing. Not at all nice, like the one from before. Her hair is still fine. It's probably a wig.
They are setting up shop, and I'm guessing this is probably the frock she throws on to clean. So that's probably why she looks old.
I guess. I didn't really notice what she was wearing at dinner.
Harriet has gotten into. Everybody in town is drawing their money out of the bank. They're buying everything from me at credit, just so they can put all of their money into this land thing.
Yeah, we noticed.
So he essentially wants to hire Adam to do the research and figure out what's going on with this.
Right.
Doc comes to buy. I'm just going to get us forward a little bit. Harriet offers to sell Doc some of her shares at a 10%,
right?
You know, bump, which I think is a fair number, believe it or not. I think, you know, if you have shares and you put the money out and you're only making 10%, that's not so bad.
Right. And plus, she's got to get something back from him for that whole discussing her, you know, surgical stuff.
Right. So let's see. Doing the research, we thought Adam would be the person to be doing this, but apparently not. Doc Baker comes running in. We actually do get to meet the swindler, Mr. Mills, a little bit better. And we kind of like him, but something's a little bit off about this entire situation. But Doc comes, you know, screaming into town like Paul Revere.
Trouble, Doc. We've been swindled. That's what's the trouble.
We've been swindled. We've been. He bought 3 shares. He's like, oh, we've been swindled.
Where is that thieving, no account?
Who are you talking about?
Edgar Mills, that's who.
Edgar Mills. That's who. Oh, I love it. Edgar.
Now, I just come back from up north, the Harkins place. You know that land we all bought into? Well, it's not there.
What's going on out here?
It's gone.
What's gone?
Our land's gone, and our money's gone with it.
What? Dr. Baker, will you stop raving like a maniac and make some sense?
It's flooded.
Is that even Nellie? We don't see her face at all.
What is?
We don't own.
I don't remember Nellie being in this episode. Do you?
I think this would have been the only place she would have been in.
I need to play this one more time, because are they not showing her face?
We've been swindled. That's what's the trouble. Where is that thieving, no account?
Who are you talking about?
Edgar Mills.
I mean, it's her voice, definitely. But unless I see a face, I'm going to say that's someone else.
That's who. Now, I just come back from up north, the Harkins place.
You know that
land we all bought into? Well, it's not there.
What's going on out here?
It's gone.
What's gone?
Our land's gone, and our money's gone with it.
What? Dr. Baker, will you stop raving like a maniac and make some sense?
It's flooded.
What is?
We don't own land. We own a lake.
Isn't owning a lake okay, too? I mean, depending on how much you paid, I guess.
If you wanted to have, like, resort property, yes.
It could be like Lake Harriet.
Right.
I think she actually changed Lake Kezia to Lake Harriet.
Yes, she did. I believe.
Where is he?
He's in his room.
It's Nellie. I would have loved it, though, if we didn't get to see her face. I would just try to create a conspiracy theory that it's actually Melissa Gilbert.
Think about it, go get Adam.
So they're going to confront this old man upstairs.
Mills? Where do you think you're going?
Home.
Is that so?
Where's our money?
What are you talking about?
To think that we trusted you.
Mrs. Olson, I swear to you, I don't know what's going on.
Oh, really? I suppose that you didn't know that the land you sold us would flood, hmm?
Flood?
Yes.
Here it is.
No, that's only yesterday's receipts. Every day he had a bank draft made up.
You come with me.
So they're going to do a citizen's arrest?
Citizen's arrest?
Citizen's arrest.
Authority. You have no right.
Mr. Mills, now I'm an attorney and we...
there you go.
Did I mention I'm an attorney? I'm new in town.
Adam is now going to get all legal on his hiney and say, I'm a lawyer. I'm a big deal. Listen to me.
I would have loved if when he says, I'm an attorney, he looked right in the camera and smiled.
Perfect.
You do have the right as citizens to forcibly detain you.
I did nothing wrong.
Will you listen to that?
Your rights will be fully protected under the law.
You're making a mistake. You know the railroad wanted that land. I'm just a speculator. I had no...
Speculator. You had a few.
No idea that it would...
I'm just a speculator.
Flood.
You'll have every opportunity to prove that in court.
Let's go.
Off to the ice house.
Yeah.
Oh, Adam, do you think that he could get away with this?
Well, Mrs. Olson, the man may just be telling the truth.
So what's interesting here is that Adam is like, wow, Wannacrow really did need my help.
Yeah.
I chose the right episode to return.
Absolutely.
Adam, telephone.
So this is kind of an interesting little
Look funny. At that.
That is awesome. I just need to take a screenshot of that. That is
great.
That is really, really perfect. Holy cow. What we're looking at is Ma listening in on Adam's phone call and just rolling her eyes.
Am I in this episode?
That is perfect.
All right, thank you.
Now, I thought that Adam would call her Ma, right? Or Mom.
Right. Listen.
Bad news?
Yes, especially for Mr. Mills.
Adam, Mills wants to see you.
What for?
He didn't say, but he seems very insistent.
All right, I have to make a phone call first.
Right.
Caroline, can you get me the courthouse and Sleepy Eye?
Isn't it kind of interesting? Caroline?
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe because he's in his official capacity as an attorney, he has to address her by her given name.
Maybe. Caroline? Maybe she can't bill him for the call unless it's
there you go.
First name. Let's see. Mills asks Adam to represent him in the ice house.
Thanks for coming. I wasn't sure you would.
Well, I won't be staying unless you have a good reason.
Is a fair trial reason enough?
You'll get one. The district marshal's on his way.
I need a good lawyer. I want you to represent me.
No.
And he's like, no.
You want a good lawyer. Me? Right,
me? I don't even know how to bill anyone yet. But yeah, it's kind of crazy, but he decides to take him on as a client, yep. Waking up Mary in the middle of the night.
I'm going to take the case.
But this afternoon you said...
I know, but... Mary, I'm a lawyer. And it's my job to defend him, no matter what my personal feelings are.
Not really.
Yeah, but, you know, coming right out of law school, he's really bought into it.
Yeah, yeah.
Charles is not too happy about Adam's new client.
No.
Loses business from the most hairy person in the world. This guy has hairy eyebrows, and look at that chest.
That is, in contrast to the shirtless Michael Landon, that's a real downgrade.
Look at that. That is crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's like, look, I'm not going to do business with anybody who's going to represent this guy who ripped off the town. Charles is like, I guess it's fine.
just lost some money because of your, you know.
Hey, Adam, you know how I said I was going to co-sign that loan? I don't think I can do it anymore.
That's off the table.
It is. That would be way off the table. So they go to trial pretty quickly.
Now, what I find interesting about that is they went to trial in Sleepy Eye. They did not bring a judge out to Walnut Grove the way they did Barn Burner. And one thing that we haven't pointed out yet is that the actor who plays Edgar Mills is the same actor who played Judge Parker in Barn Burner.
Yeah, which I really like. I mean, I like seeing repeat people on the show.
So I'm guessing that they can't have it in the schoolhouse because that's where Edgar Mills, formerly known as Judge Parker, had court. So they can't do that. So they're going to hold this trial in Sleepy Eye, and people from Walnut Grove are going to attend.
Yeah, you think that they would all go to court in the schoolhouse and go, wait a minute. This is weird. This is something's familiar about this.
Yeah. But they do go to Sleepy Eye and we see somebody else that we've seen before.
What?
We'll see the judge is the judge who took care of Albert's adoption.
That's right. That's where I know him from. All right, great. Now I do want to point out we've seen this courthouse a number of times. And every time I see it, I notice that up here there's it says 1893 that it was built.
Yep, that's right.
So I also still think that this is a stage. I don't think this is a real building. I mean, it's possible, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right, though. I think it probably is a front.
But here we go. We're in court. Harriet's on the stand.
And what sort of man is it, your Mills?
Well, he's ever so charming and polite. You know the type.
Objection, Your Honor.
Again?
I love it. Again? No, few people could pull off a red dress with a pink blouse and a green hat.
But Harriet can.
Yeah.
She definitely.
Flawlessly.
Sam, just answer the question, please.
Well, I'm trying to, Your Honor, but he keeps interrupting me.
Mrs. Olson, you had every good reason to believe that the land sale was legit.
I most certainly did.
So they go on and on and on. Let's see. We have Captain Spock in the audience. I want to point him out. They ask Mills to take the stand. And in this, we get to see Captain Spock.
Mr. Mills, what are you going to do with the money?
Well, what money's that, sir?
What money? The money that was paid to you by the citizens of Walnut Grove for the worthless shares. Surely you don't plan to keep it.
Well, it was come by honestly. I'm sorry for their losses, though.
So you do intend to keep it?
Yes, sir, I do.
I see. Now, let's go back to when you first decided to sell the shares. I find it fascinating that a man who stands to make a modest fortune...
So this guy in the background just reminds me of Captain Spock for some reason. I don't know why exactly. He just has this kind of look.
It's the eyebrows, I think.
This guy's face. And, you know, pretty much the entire professional town of Walnut Grove is in Sleepy Eye today. Who's taking care of the... Is Nelly running things back home?
I guess she is, and somebody else must be running the post office because Mrs. Foster is there.
Hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Well, I guess anybody who invested is there to represent their side of the story. Let's see. They kind of go back and forth. He denies knowing that it would flood. Nowadays, you know, there's different, like, flood maps and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if they would know how to survey. I guess they would have to, right? I don't know anything about surveying.
Well, they're going off of what he has said, and nobody, you know, as Adam's pointing out, you know, nobody checked on this survey, right, even as investor.
But it's also a buyer beware type of thing, you know.
Yeah.
It's really, that's the kind of catch 22 here.
So of course you do. Thomas W. Harcourt is a surveyor by profession. And this is a copy of the confidential report to Mr. Edgar Mills that the land that he had already purchased was worthless.
I would want to say that's inadmissible, but I don't know what that means. I object. Guilty.
May I see that, please?
So, yeah, he's like, I'd like a few minutes to, you know, read this. And so they adjourn and they say, all right, yeah, you're adjourned until tomorrow or something like that.
Now we're in a real jail and not an ice house.
Yeah, I mean, in town they have bars
to
detain people. Yeah. Even though, I mean, would you say that? Would this really be something that he would have to be detained? Maybe, because he's a flight risk. Everybody was a flight risk back then, probably.
I don't think they did a lot of bail.
I mean, it's not like he killed anyone. It's not like a violent crime.
Yeah, well, he also probably didn't have anywhere to stay.
That's true, too. He had no money. We know that. He had quite a bit of money. Yeah,
he couldn't stay at the blind school, AKA Airbnb.
You know, I'm surprised they didn't allow him to stay at the blind school.
Yeah.
But Adam is like, I can't believe you're guilty. Like, he's never understood that somebody could lie to him. It's kind of weird.
Especially, you know, after the whole Mr. Davis not giving him the job.
Right. Like, all of a sudden, a lot of reality checks. Let's see. Mills has one last chance, which is this.
If you return what's left of the money, that could save you maybe 10.
It's impossible.
Mr. Mills, I am talking to you about 10 years of your life.
It's gone. Spent. I owed some money. Mr. Kendall, I appreciate your concern.
I mean, if he's going to jail for like 20 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
versus 30 years. I would just imagine, you know, he's already kind of towards the end of his life, you know, from being blunt. So I don't know. I'm just, you know, 10 years to return all the money, just keep the money. It's not that great of a deal. That's New York style.
Right.
What else you got? That's what I would say.
Right.
Make it, you know, I want to serve 6 months. Then I'll return the money.
Yeah.
So let's see. The Mills family shows up at the blind school, which is like kind of right, really out of left field.
Yes. And do you know who is playing Mrs. Mills?
You know what? Who is she? Because I know she's from maybe another Little House episode.
Martha Mills is played by Barbara, I'm going to spell this, C-O-L-L-E-N-T-I, in Collington, who just happens to be the real-life wife of Richard Bull.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And she apparently played matronly roles in several 70s dramas and comedies over the years. And she just died earlier this year.
Oh. Yeah. Wow. So she probably got this role because of nepotism. No,
yeah,
I'm kidding.
Probably.
No, but I like her character. I think her character is really good.
Yes, Mr. But we also discover that they have a child. The child that's with them, David, looks to be about 10 years old. And I'm like,
yeah, it's a little
like
too. Yeah, like I was even she's a little young looking for him.
Yeah.
That's rather surprising. I asked Mr. Mills if I should contact any relatives, and he said he was a widower without any family.
I thought as much.
We wouldn't have known about the trial had it not been for this. It's just a small paragraph in an article on land fraud. I spotted it when going through the Financial Journal.
You must want to see your husband. I'll take you to him.
No, I don't want to see him just yet.
Mr. Kendall, after reading this, I took it upon myself to go to Mrs. Mills here and give her some information that Edgar had sworn me not to disclose.
So what we're going to do is we're going to trick him.
That's right. We're going to rat him out.
Yeah, we're going to call him out on the stand. We're going to question Mrs. Mills.
Do you know Dr. Ruddy?
Yes, I do. He's my husband's physician.
I see. Dr. Ruddy came to you a few days ago with a newspaper clipping, did he not?
Yes, he did. It was about this trial.
And that was the first you'd heard about it?
Yes.
It must have come as quite a shock to you.
Yes.
The kid's face is so weird. It's like a fly could fly in and out of his mouth. He wouldn't know it. Like, you ever see that Woody Woodpecker cartoon where he goes to the baseball game and there's a kid like in the front and he has to open up a bottle of soda and he just sticks it in his mouth and cracks it open? That's what that kid looks like.
But it was nothing in comparison to what the doctor told me after that.
Now, could you tell the court what that was?
Dr. Ruddy told me that my husband had only a few months more to live.
So the story is he's dying. We don't get too much information about that. So he does this. He gets desperate. He buys this property not knowing because it was not surveyed. And then he decides to split it up to make more money. So he's just trying to like give money to his family.
Right. He wants his family of three. We've learned that they have three kids to be well taken care of after he's bought the farm, so to speak.
But here's the verdict.
Gentlemen of the jury, have you reached a verdict?
We have.
No, it's gentlemen of the jury. No women. I don't know what year women were allowed to be on the jury.
I think it was probably a good 50 years later, actually.
Like, was it kind of right there along with voting?
You know, it's funny you said that because when I was doing some research on a trial in Dallas, they were just starting to let women onto juries, I think, in the 50s.
I'm doing a quick little search because I'm really kind of curious about that. I'm assuming like a federal and local jury might be different. They were able to serve on juries starting in 1898, but they did not regularly serve on juries until the 30s, 1930s, obviously. You never know anymore.
I have, Your Honor.
we find the defendant guilty of fraud.
And they hang him, right? That's it.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. Whoops. I clicked the wrong thing here.
I know. I heard that.
Davis.
He's guilty. 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 It's like in Superman when they make Zod and his friends guilty. And they're like, guilty. Guilty. That's what I hear when I hear guilty. Let's see. But in the world of Little House on the Prairie, guilty does not always mean guilty.
That's right. As we will soon find out from Judge Allen.
Yeah. Mrs. Mills is pledged to return all of the money that's left from this fraudulent land sale. And this, of course, will have a great impact on my sentencing.
How much money do you think they spent?
I don't know.
She's well-dressed and so is he.
Well, Judge Allen actually looks like he's sitting at a piano right now.
Like an organ, he's doing a wedding.
But about to bust out into, you know, How Great Thou Art or something like that. I don't know.
You know, he looks like, I don't know if you know who this is, Bob Moog, the guy who invented the Moog synthesizer.
Oh, the Moog synthesizer guy.
Okay. I'm looking him up real quick. maybe a little bit. Let's see. Yeah. I'll bring him into the... Here, this is Bob Moog.
Well, a younger version.
A little bit. Yeah. All right. It's Bob Moog on... Bob Moog.
Will the defendant please rise?
Mr. Mills, I have here a list of the names of the people whom you defrauded. Now, all of these people have made pledges to this court. Mrs. Olson pledges employment for your wife in exchange for room and board.
And Dr. Baker has pledged medical attention to your family for as long as they live in Walnut Grove. And the list goes on. Mr. Mills, you see, these people...
Charles will play music for you. He'll fiddle you to sleep each evening.
He'll play your funeral reception.
He'll make you chairs and chests.
Yeah.
And make you wagon wheels.
Became involved in your scheme out of greed. Now wish to become involved with your family out of compassion. It appears that many have learned a great deal about themselves from this case. Mr. Mills... The court recommends leniency. You are to live out the remainder of your days in the comfort and love of your family. This court is adjourned.
And we never see them again.
I swear, there's another town further down the road from Walnut Grove where all these people end up. That's where they live.
Yeah.
And that's where the Mills family is just down the road.
Yeah, it's like Chestnut Grove.
Yes, right. Exactly.
It's like... I just don't understand. Like, yeah, we never get to see them. Kind of weird. Adam, of course, being the star attorney now.
Yeah.
The shining boy is getting offered jobs left and right.
Have a job. Why, thank you.
Listen, why don't you and me have a meeting tomorrow? I think there's a very good chance I can find a spot for you in my law firm.
No, I'm very sorry, but I think my partner and I would rather go it alone.
Look, son. I can make you a much better offer than anything your partner can afford.
No, I don't think you can. Let's go to lunch, partner.
All right, that's sweet, right? You know, but it's stupid. And,
yeah.
You know, you don't get a job without, sometimes you don't get a job without letting them know you can do the job, right? So what is so wrong? Maybe if he said, like, all right, well, let me know when you are going to be an attorney, and what I'll do is I'll observe.
Right.
If you want a job so quickly, then that, or you can work in a mailroom type of thing. But of course, then he wouldn't have gone back to Walnut Grove. We wouldn't have had this fascinating story as it was told. But I don't think there's anything wrong with him approaching new talent and offering him something.
Right. Yeah. Well, and this, you know, I don't think I'm giving away too much when we learn that later that this is the only case that of any worth that arise from Walnut Grove.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I can't think of anything else. I mean, even in stuff like Empire Builders later on when we could have had some legal needs. You know, like we could, I think even in Empire Builders, they hire an attorney.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, and it's probably beyond what Adam can do. And it's, yeah. And plus he's in New York by that time, I think, isn't he?
That's true. But I mean, you would think he would travel back.
Well, you would think, but he's gotten sucked into the glamorous life of New York law.
Yeah.
And he's now, he and Mary are too big for Walnut Grove.
You know, by the 1880s, you've got pizza being made in New York. And maybe he's just addicted to that downtown Little Italy pizza.
Right. Yeah. Well, he's always worn the suit. So he's always been, you know, dressing for the job that he wants.
Yeah.
You know, not the job he has. So there you go.
I also wonder if he moved to Walnut Grove so he could say things like, I'm just a small town attorney.
Right.
I can't take that seriously. You can't expect much.
Right. Yeah. I'm just a country boy.
Yeah. Can't expect me to be able to do the job.
Right. To do some aw shucking, you know.
Yeah. It's basically the cop out for most people. It's like, I'm just a small town doctor. I can't do an eye exam. Well, Tracy, I want to thank you so much for, you know, getting together this morning to discuss this episode. I think this is a great episode. A lot of people are like, it's boring. I'm like, no, you didn't watch it.
It turned out much better than I remember it being when I originally watched it, actually.
And people love the Adam character. So, I mean, you get a lot of Adam in this one.
Yeah. And he's, you know, you get a lot of, you know, Adam's hair, and that you can't beat that.
Yeah. You can't. I mean, look at that hair. How do you not love that hair? Basically, you could take that hair off and put it on Michael Landon. Same hair.
I think we should have a vote on who has the bet between Adam and Michael Landon on who has the best hair.
All right.
I think we got to put that to a vote on Facebook.
I think I'm going to put that up today.
That's a poll. I think that would be well subscribed.
I think I have to find one of Almanzo.
Yeah, he's got pretty good hair too.
Oh, he's got great hair, but it's different. He doesn't get the big hair. He doesn't get the blowout.
Yeah, he doesn't have the curl that Adam and Michael Landon have. He, you know, when he comes to Walnut Grove, he's kind of got the Prince Valiant look going on.
Mm-hmm.
And in later years, they trim him down and it looks a lot better.
I don't know if we get a hatless Doc.
Yeah, that can be hard to find sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, he's got to be indoors.
Yeah.
He's always, I mean, I guess that was the proper thing.
Yeah. He does like his hat.
Yeah. I like his hat too. Yeah. But Tracy, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. And yeah. I hope I get to come back sometime.
Yeah. I hope you do as well. That's an open invite. Once you're here, you stay. You just keep ordering off the menus. Like, yeah, what's next? Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grovecast by visiting patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Any support is appreciated.